The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Eamon, thank you very much indeed. Good afternoon. This is Jonathan Healy filling in for Kieran Cuddihy over the course of the next few days. It is an unbelievably fast news cycle and something of a grim news cycle. I think a lot of people had disrupted sleep in the early hours of Sunday morning if they checked their phones casually to see that the United States had started to drop bombs on Iran at suspected nuclear sites and the escalation of tensions in the Middle East after, well, let's face it, Israel started bombing Iran and has now been supported by the United States. Where it goes next, nobody really knows. What we do know is that Qatar, the Emirate of Qatar, has closed its airspace within the last half an hour. It means that no aircraft can transition through or land there. Take from that what you will. The United States had earlier told its people as an abundance of caution to shelter in place in Qatar. Whether they are operating on any kind of intelligence, we do not know. Donald Trump has been on Truth Social. It's quite a rambling message. You might kind of be surprised to hear that. Talking about Dmitry Medvedev, former Russian president, casually throwing, these are Donald Trump's words, casually throwing around the N-word. Now, he does have in brackets nuclear. But Donald Trump never ceases to amaze me that he will always manage to offend you, even though he's trying to talk about something else. So he's using the phrase the N-word, but he means nuclear in this context. And he goes on in great detail to talk about how fantastic they have nuclear submarines and Tomahawk missiles and everything that goes on. So it's definitely worrying times, to say the least. Rosie Burchard is the Europe correspondent with DW News. Hiya, Rosie. No, can't hear her. So let's move on to our next guest. Michael Graham is the managing editor of Indie Sources, a national news outlet based in Washington, D.C., a good friend of the radio station. Michael, how are you?
Always thrilled to talk to my friends in Ireland. It's absolutely great. And of course, anytime we're talking about Iran, it's always exciting because it was that infamous broadcast in which the now president of Ireland, Michael D, used a word to describe me that made headlines around the world. And what were we debating? Iran was sending a ship laden with the goods for terrorists in Gaza, and Israel stopped them, and he objected to their stopping them, and that was that. So this fight's been around for a while.
That. Many people heard that word and will remember it with fondness. Now, Michael, where are you at with all of this? Because the reason I wanted to bring you on was I genuinely wanted to get your take on America doing this. Donald Trump said, never doing another war, staying out of it, America first, and now he started dropping bombs in Iran. What is your take on it?
Well, first of all, I start with the premise that any time whack job Islamists who spread terror and want to destroy an entire country because they're Jews, anytime they're being blown up, that's a good thing. So I don't care who does the blowing up. I would be delighted if Europe would do the blowing up. It'd be fantastic. But Europe's too busy getting rich or trying to get rich off of Iran, just like they did off of Iraq, because that's what Europe does. The second thing is, and I think this is really important, it doesn't make the policy smart or dumb, but it is not a war. We blew the crap out of the Serbs for 6 months. We were never in a war. We just blew the crap out of the Houthis while Biden was president repeatedly, like six or seven times. It's not a war. America's always blowing the crap out of somebody over something. It's not a war. And so Iran doesn't have the ability to wage war.
It's an escalation, Michael. It's an escalation.
And that's a great point. I think that's kind of the heart of the matter. Is making it virtually impossible for Iran to have nuclear weapons in the next whatever, whether it sets it back 5 years, 10 years, whatever, you know. But is that an escalation or a de-escalation? You could argue that whack job Islamists determined to kill all the Jews with nukes is the ultimate escalation. And so anything that stops that is a de-escalation. And I would like to ask you this question.
You get your question first.
Do you think the world will be more heightened with tensions or less? Like if you had a magic wand, you could say, you know, no one Iranian can ever have or build a nuclear bomb. Would the world become more or less tense? And I think the argument is clear. The world will become less tense if Iran,
correct. And to be fair, that's the policy of European countries. It's pretty much the policy of anybody.
Well,
nobody should have a nuclear weapon.
It's a policy, but as long as you're, buying their oil and doing a business with them, I'm not so sure.
Not wishing to rain on your parade, but the IEA E, or the other way around, IAEA, who are the watchdog. They said the Iranians aren't building a weapon. They weren't building a bomb. This is the same pretext that started the war in Iraq that led to the countless deaths of people, particularly American soldiers who went in to fight a phony war.
Now, definitely Iraq was a war. I will skip all the other stuff because we can debate that and whatever, blah, blah, blah. That's definitely a war. This is not a war. But the idea that Iran has not been, as Russian former President Medvedev just said, pursuing a nuclear weapon, because everyone knows they are pursuing a nuclear weapon. They have been pursuing a nuclear weapon. The argument that, well, they were only, whatever, 6 months away versus 3 months away versus 1 month away. They want a nuclear weapon. There's no dispute about that.
They wanted a domestic nuclear power solution for their people.
No one who says Iran wants a domestic nuclear program can be taken seriously. Nobody believes that. Everybody knows that's a lie. They want nuclear weapons. That's not a secret. Everyone knows it. And now it's going to be harder for them to have them. And there's no war. There's no boots on grounds. There's no one's telling you what kind of government you can have.
Okay.
But what happens,
what happens next,
is this not a huge win for everybody? Tell me people in Ireland do not breathe a sigh of relief that the Iranian whackjob Islamists are that much farther away from having the nuke they have been pursuing for 20
what
years.
What happens now, right, if Iran, and one would argue they're going to have to do something. There's a lot of American troops based. We talked about Qatar. I have no crystal ball here, but they decide to fire a couple of missiles at an American airbase in Qatar, and then Trump feels he has to respond. And you're going to tell me that's not a war?
Yeah, well, if it is, then we're already at one, because the Iranians have been firing missiles at American ships in the water via the Houthis and American bases in Iraq via their militias. The Iranians, they've also sent over, they've attempted to assassinate President Trump. There are two people waiting for trial right now because they were captured by the FBI because they're trying to assassinate Trump. This is the problem with Iran. Whatever you say they might do, they've already done. I thought it was interesting, for example, you said Israel fired missiles at Iran. What are you talking? Yeah, you're absolutely right. They did. After the Iranians fired missiles at them, why did the Iranians fire missiles at Israel 6 months ago? Why? Because the Hamas they funded were in trouble with Israel. This is Iran. They try to kill Jews. They try to kill Americans. They try to kill Westerners. They use terrorism.
Nobody is lining up to say that the mullahs who run Iran are great guys. They're not. And they don't represent, I'd imagine, a lot of the Iranian people, but they do represent some of them. But my point is to Michael Graham, your side of the pond, Donald Trump said, no wars. I'm going to be the guy who's going to bring peace. Are you telling me that this isn't going to damage him?
No, not a bit, because there's no war. He ordered the bombing of Qassem Soleimani. Brilliant move, absolutely wonderful. There was no war. This is part of the West. Think of all the times, for example, the British were involved in some of the strikes on the Houthis when they were firing more missiles into the waterway, and it was designed to change their behavior. No one said the UK was at war with Yemen or the Houthis or anybody. It was just, this is a thing that happens. This is a bigger thing that happens, and Trump makes it even bigger because he's Mr. Showman, and he absolutely drives me crazy, and I'm not a big Trump guy myself, but I don't care if it's Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu. If Michael D. Higgins delivered the bombs that destroyed the Iranian nuclear program, I would cheer him to the heavens, and he could call me any name he wanted.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that would be unlikely, and that the naming would continue regardless. Michael, always a pleasure to talk to my friend Michael Graham there.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Managing editor of Inside Sources. Rosie Burchard is with us on the line now. Rosie, sorry for the technical issue with you a little bit earlier on. The European ministers have been meeting, including our own Taoiseach Simon Harris. They're dancing a very nervous dance here. What have they been saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, this meeting was originally due to be the headline news, would have indeed been a discussion around the review of a pact that the EU has with Israel, which governs the relations between the two sides. But, of course, the developments over the weekend mean that top of their agenda by far was the situation in Iran. The European Union has been calling for de-escalation. And we also heard, for example, from the French foreign minister saying, look, Europe has a forum here. In the past, 10 years ago, France, Germany, the UK did actually help broker the original Iran nuclear deal. a French foreign minister says, look, Europe has the expertise and the experience to try and bring parties to the table. What we don't have so far is any evidence that that really works, because so far these calls for de-escalation really seem to be more like shouting into the void here.
Yeah. How much concern is there that, I mean, Michael Graham telling us it's not a war, I suppose it's not a war yet, but that it could escalate further and that somehow Europe may be dragged into it?
There's definitely concern about further escalation. I mean, we just heard a press conference with EU foreign policy chief Kaja Kallas saying, you know, again, that escalation will help no one, that they've been putting pressure on the United States, on Israel and on Iran to that end. There's no doubt that the primary victims of this conflict are civilians caught in the crossfire in Israel, in Iran, and others in the region that really feel that there could be a spillover. But there are a lot of key European interests at stake here as well, as a kind of secondary concern, not least what they could do to oil prices. You know, if there was a blockage of the Strait of Hormuz, which you've probably been talking about a lot as well, that could really impact energy security for a lot of mainland Europe. You know, the European Union has been racing to reduce dependence on Russia for fossil fuel imports. It's been looking towards the Gulf instead, right? But if those Gulf exports can't make it to Europe, well, that's bad news for here. And another thing they're concerned about is that a spike in oil prices could really be a bit of a boon for Russia, because Russia has managed to replace its former European customers with buyers elsewhere in the world, especially in Asia. So if prices spike, there were fears that Russia could use those extra funds to continue funding its war in Ukraine and to have even more powers to be able to do so. So, there's definitely a whole load of concern here about what the impact of this could be. And of course, I mean, just like this big geopolitical shift, you know, the European leaders have been used to, over the last few months, waking up overnight, hearing shock announcements from the United States. But I think this is really on a different level, and there's really a sense that Europeans might be living with the consequences of this decision for decades to come.
Yeah, and the consequence more so perhaps than the United States, that is much further away and a lot more self-sufficient than perhaps Europe would be. There is a sense, I'm guessing, from just speaking to the ministers, watching what the ministers have been saying, that they're kind of bystanders here. There's very little they can do if America is going to act without consulting its former allies. They just have to watch it play out.
That's what they look like just now. I think a lot of analysts would agree that for now they look much more like a bystander than a broker. And you know, that's notwithstanding, we did see those E3 countries, Britain, France, Germany, meeting with their Iranian counterpart on Friday in Geneva. You know, those countries claimed that was proof of their ability and their credibility in this. But then, you know, what did we see over the weekend? We saw those strikes, and even Donald Trump branding European efforts as irrelevant. Now, that irrelevance, given what we saw in the past when Europe was at the table, that irrelevance wasn't inevitable. And I think there are definitely efforts underway to try and prove that Europe can get back to the table. One thing they really agreed on, I mean, there are nuances across the bloc on all sorts of how they should approach it, on the wording, what should come first in terms of calls for de-escalation, in terms of this line that Iran must never have a nuclear bomb, which really all European states do agree on. But where they really are, more or less, I could say, it seems to me, on the same page, is this idea that Russia would have no credibility as a possible mediator given the war that it's waging in Ukraine. I think the question now is whether the Europeans can show they are the ones with the credibility and the clout to actually be that mediator. And honestly, for now, we haven't seen much proof that can be the case, but they will continue trying. And I think it's a case of, as you said, for many, it's kind of watching from the sidelines. But we do know that the EU chief, Foreign Affairs Chief Kaja Kallas has said, you know, they're in touch with all sides and they are working on this, especially we've seen French President Macron really ringing around all sorts of key power figures in the Middle East to try and get his view across there. So it's not for want of trying.
Yeah, until something comes out on Truth Social and he's completely undermined. Rosie Burchard, Europe correspondent with DW News, thank you very much for joining us. One listener says, am I missing something? Read this attack on the nuclear facility in Iran. If it was indeed nuclear, would it not cause some kind of nuclear fallout? There is no evidence of that. That there was anything nuclear. If there was nuclear there, it hasn't been detected. Let's put it that way. And Michael Graham had a point that there's nothing more terrifying than the prospect of Israel coming under nuclear attack with whoever is in charge in Tehran deciding we don't like that country anymore. We're going to have the ultimate in weaponry to take it out. Nobody wanted that. Nobody was even contemplating that should be allowed to happen. But this threat this talked up threat has been there for 20 odd years, and there's been no evidence that Iran had actually gotten very far. Now, they were saying, oh, they're nearly there, nearly there. Are we ever going to find out if they were nearly there? Or now we're being dragged into something? It's interesting that Frank Gardner, who's the BBC security correspondent, is saying that Qatar has closed its airspace amid an imminent credible threat to the Al Udeid US airbase in Qatar. So that's presumably what people are on tenterhooks over for the next while. It is going to be an anxious couple of days, anxious couple of hours. Hopefully the senior sensible voices prevail, even if they do appear to be in the minority.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.